The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
Good morning, everybody. How we doing? Come on in, sit down. Take shoes off or put them on to try and get out the door. I won't instruct you what to do with a wardrobe wise. You may be driving already, and it is great to have you no matter what you are doing on this Wednesday morning on 660 AM, The Answer DFW and Freedom 1160 San Antonio. Howdy, Alamo City. How's everybody down there? All right. How are we doing in here? How are you doing in your life? How are you doing this week? There is a mood that I'm in. There's a thing that I'm noticing. I want to run it by you because I don't ever want, when things seem to be going a certain way and they're actually my way, I'm inclined to pinch myself. And by my way, I mean the conservative way, you know, the way I think things ought to be. We all have our disparate views on how we think the country ought to be, our state ought to be, et cetera, et cetera. There's a wonderful tweet this morning. There's a wonderful tweet from a famous guy. Hey, Texas, I guess you're going to vote for Ted Cruz again, but please don't. This Beto O'Rourke guy, he's mega cool, and he's so smart. I mean, who's this from, a teenage girl? Nope, that would be from noted horror writer Stephen King. Doesn't Stephen King have people to bother up there in Maine? Anyway, whatever. And that gave me a hashtag this morning, however. Texas landslide 2018. Anyway, so here's my premise. Kavanaugh is nominated night before last, and the left goes so deep rubber room bat poop crazy that I think it accrues to Kavanaugh's benefit. All right. That's just my theory. And I think there's a lot, because I'm talking to people. I'm talking to people, obviously here on the show, but out in normal life as well. People who are not that ideologically inclined, people who don't live and die on politics every day. They may not even vote that much, but they just kind of, and some of them sort of like Trump and some of them sort of don't. But some of the reactions I'm getting is, what are they doing? The guy coaches his kids basketball. He seems like just a total stand-up, magnificent father and dad, or father and husband. And there are people walking around like he's some creature from, you know, Dante's ninth level. It's like, what? They are overplaying their hand so mightily that it accrues to his benefit. And this is part of landslide 2020. This is part of, if Trump wins 40 states, it will be because we love him, people like me love him, people like you love him, his policies are working, but it will also be some Americans rising up and just slapping down the excess, slapping down the hate, slapping down the ridiculous wailings and pearl clutching and teeth gnashing of the left and the haters. I mean, and listen, when I say the left and the haters, I mean the left and the right. This Max Boot guy is a head case. Used to write for the LA Times, does some writing for some other things. He's kind of been a national security, foreign policy, big brain for a long time. I think he's been on the show a couple of times, not lately. And a you know, good stand-up guy, seems to have some, you know, pretty conservative views of national defense. Trump arises and eats his brain. His brain is gone. It has been sacrificed on the altar of Trump hatred. And so people are taunting Max Boot on Twitter because he was tweeting some things that were very praiseful of Kavanaugh. Of course, because Kavanaugh is a wonderful selection. My total favorite? Nope, that was Amy Coney Barrett, but I'm not going to let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Kavanaugh is great. Can't wait to see him, and it'll be wonderful. So literally, this Max Boot guy, his whole deal yesterday was, yes, this is a good judicial selection. And please keep in mind that the Supreme Court selection is, you know, top three of the most important thing any president ever does, ever. And so his whole deal, and I guess he wrote about this, was, hey, conservatives, is the occasional Supreme Court nomination worth the selling of your soul? Is the occasional good pick for the high court, is that some kind of devil's bargain in order to, you know, to get, you know, one or two things you want in view of the ruin and the horrors and the mountain of negatives of Trump, is his point. And these people must be challenged. They must be like, what exactly are you talking about? I can't wait to talk to Mike Gallagher today. That's true every day. He had a call yesterday and I had to get out of the car. It was this guy. I think he had gone trolling for Never Trumpers, which should be a game show. Hey, welcome to a new edition of Trolling for Never Trumpers. Here's your host, Wayne Brady. Wayne Brady. Whose line is it anyway? Right, with Drew Carey, who's now a game show host on Price is Right. And then he's done other stuff. Wayne Brady's just a dancer, singer. Now he does Let's Make a Deal. Here's the deal. Have you seen him in? He's a Colony is on USA with Josh Holloway, who was handsome blonde dude, who's Sawyer in Lost, and he's been in a couple of other series. A big Josh Holloway fan. He's great. Colony is the story of a near future, kind of not apocalyptic, post-alien invasion thing. I know everything's post-alien invasion. But America has been split up into various regions because the aliens are running everything. And Wayne Brady is a very, very good, serious actor. As one of the guys in Colony. Go back. You can't come into the middle of Colony. I think we're in season three. Go back to season one. It's a great show. But I digress. Trolling for Never Trumpers. And Mike has this guy on, and the guy calls and says, I didn't vote for Trump. He's a libertarian, which is lovely. I didn't vote for Trump. I actually didn't vote. And Mike asked him, But you have conservative views, conservative constitutional views, right? Libertarian, you must really revere the Constitution. Yeah, I sure do. So you think that the Supreme Court pick is great, right? Yeah, the pick of the judge is great, but big deal. Supreme Court justices die. You know, it's not worth, you know, the nightmare of Trump. Like what? So here's an adjunct to that. Here's a corollary off of that. And it all comes under the large heading. If some people are freaking out, that real change was always going to feel like this. Real change was always going to freak people out. Real change was always going to give all kinds of people heart attacks, nervous breakdowns, and conniption fits, right? Especially in the media, especially in the hallowed halls of establishment, especially among the squishes, especially among global elites. Ah, global elites. Let's go to NATO. Have you heard the president is in Brussels now? That after rocking the Earth's tectonic plates with the choice of an actual constitutionalist, again, not a conservative, that's not what's important. His politics don't matter. That invites the left to say, well, we'll just bring our politics. Constitutionalism, textualism, originalism, those are the things that matter. So he brings a justice that espouses those things, and everybody freaks out. Well, now President Trump is in Brussels at a NATO meeting, and everybody's freaking out. Why? Because for the first time in forever, a president is at NATO making NATO pony up, talking about how NATO is enjoying a free ride on the backs of the American taxpayer. And the media coverage is, oh, it's off to a rocky start. It's off to a rocky start. Ooh, he's antagonizing the allies. And somebody over there had said, hey, you know, President Trump, you better treat your allies better. We don't have very many anymore. We got plenty of allies. We're just not going to be sucked dry by them as they ride on our coattails. for national defense. So just enjoy. They're sitting around a big table with lovely China, and you're going to hear President Trump and the Secretary General of NATO, Jens Stoltenberg. And the president is just talking. This is just so wonderful. This is causing people to drive their cars off the road. This is causing people to just spit up their coffee. This is causing on Morning Joe, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, Morning Joe. They are mourning every day of the Trump presidency. They got nothing on that show and on MSNBC. So the rift, if it is even a rift, between the United States and our NATO allies, you know what that is? It's what Putin wants. It's what Putin wants. There was media coverage of the Trump-Putin summit, which is coming in a few days, and some reporter or something said, well, they're going to be just meeting one-on-one with no aides, no translators, no does everybody – it's got to be translators, right? Anyway, no aides, no entourage, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to be meeting one-on-one, which is just what the Russians want. I'm sorry. It's what Trump wants. It's what they both want. What? So anyway, the whole thing about any tension between the United States and NATO is thoroughly appropriate because we're asking them for more money. I don't know if you've noticed, but whether it's your America and dealing with the rest of the world or you're you dealing with your brother-in-law, when you're trying to get money back from him, it can get tense. So the narrative on Morning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, Morning Joe, was that the rift between the United States and NATO is, quote, just what Putin wants. I don't care what Putin wants. Trump doesn't care what Putin wants. And the double, triple, quadruple greatness thing here is as I play some of this audio and he's just going digging deep in a wonderful, constructive way. This is not mean. This is not it's Trump being Trump. And there's the NATO Secretary General sticking up for NATO saying, actually, we are contributing more than we have in a long time. Really? Why is that? Your leadership. Exactly. Boom. So let's just enjoy Trump sitting around the table with a bunch of NATO people.
In many countries owe us a tremendous amount of money from many years back where they're delinquent, as far as I'm concerned, because the United States has had to pay for them. So if you go back 10 or 20 years, you'll just add it all up. It's massive amounts of money is owed. The United States has paid and stepped up like nobody. This has gone on for decades, by the way. This has gone on for many presidents, but no other president brought it up like I bring it up.
Sure. The good news is that the allies have started to invest more in defense.
This is NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg. The allies have started to pony up more. Really? I wonder why. He's going to ask him.
Years of cutting defense budgets, they have started to add billions to the defense budgets. And last year was the biggest increase in defense spending across Europe and Canada in a generation.
Why was that last year?
It's also because of your leadership.
Yeah, buddy, it sure is. Woo!
They carried a message, and
they won't write that.
He points to the photographers in the back, and the media in the back says, they won't write that. Oh, boy. You almost feel for Mr. Stoltenberg, who's a good guy. He's Secretary General of NATO, Norwegian guy. The Norwegian are very nice people.
Sad when Germany makes a massive oil and gas deal with Russia.
Okay, here we go. Wait a minute. Trump is Putin's puppet. He loves Russia. He loves Putin. Everything he does is to dance to Putin's tune. Yeah, that it's a bad day for that narrative, too, as President Trump scolds Germany for signing a deal that makes them way too beholden to Russia for their energy needs. And then poor Mr. Stoltenberg essentially says, yeah, but I am Oli, you are Sven. Yeah, but we have been trading even during the Cold War. And Trump says, yeah, trade is one thing. Energy is way different.
Where you're supposed to be guarding against Russia, and Germany goes out and pays billions and billions of dollars a year to Russia. So we're protecting Germany, we're protecting France, we're protecting all of these countries. And then numerous of the countries go out and make a pipeline deal with Russia, where they're paying billions of dollars into the coffers of Russia. So we're supposed to protect you against Russia, but they're paying billions of dollars to Russia. And I think that's very inappropriate. And the former chancellor of Germany is the head of the pipeline company that's supplying the gas. Ultimately, Germany will have almost 70% of their country controlled by Russia with natural gas. So you tell me, is that appropriate? I mean, I've been complaining about this from the time I got in. It should have never been allowed to have happened. But Germany is totally controlled by Russia.
So the words I spoke, the words coming out of my mouth as I started the show, is the evidence that things are going great, the evidence that the change is real, is that people see. I watch this. Are you listening to this and going, thank God he won. Thank God he won. Thank God he won. This is what clarity looks like. This is what boldness looks like. This is what frankness looks like. This isn't diplomatic doublespeak. It's plain talk. And we love our allies. We want to get along, and that's great. And we are America, and we will protect you. If anybody ever, you know, launches an attack on Oslo, Jens Stoltenberg has nothing to worry about. We're going to be there to protect them. But we're not going to get hosed anymore. And it is fantastic to have a president who will speak truth to that. The evidence that the change is real is that in the halls of the elites, in the covens of the haters, is like, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing ever. He is destroying every alliance we ever had.
I think it's something that NATO has to look at. I think it's very inappropriate. You and I agree that it's inappropriate.
NATO is an alliance of 29 nations, and there are sometimes differences and different views and also some disagreements. And the gas pipeline from Russia to Germany is one issue where allies disagree. But the strength of NATO is that despite these differences, we have always been able to unite around our core task to protect and defend each other.
Blah, blah, blah. We know that. And Trump ain't going to take a minute of this Hillary campaign doublespeak either.
We also understand that we are stronger together than apart. I think that two world wars and the Cold War thought was that we are stronger together than apart.
But how can you be together when a country is getting its energy from the person you want protection against or from the group that you want protection?
Because we understand that when we stand together, also when dealing with Russia, we are stronger. I think what we have seen is that...
No, you're just making Russia richer. Well, you're not dealing with Russia, you're making Russia richer.
Well, so I think that even during the Cold War, NATO allies were trading with Russia. Then there have been disagreements about what kind of... trade arrangements we should go
into. I think trade is wonderful. I think energy is a whole different story. I think energy is a much different story than normal trade.
It's every day. It's Christmas every day for people who believe in a strong America, some common sense, speaking truth around the world, speak truth and let the chips fall where they may. Thank God he won. Thank God he won. Thank God he won. All righty. I'm Mark Davis at 724. Okay. I'm going to explain something. Some of you need it, some of you don't. So I was channeling Jens Stoltenberg and doing a very bad imitation. I don't imitate people to mock. It's just having a little fun here. And he's Norwegian, and I'm going through the Jens Stoltenberg. And at one point I said the words, "I am Ole, you are Sven." Did everybody get that? And the answer is no, because you're not old enough. Flintstones, 1963. Wilma rents out their house to a trio of Swedish musicians, and there are three of them, and they're not exactly quite sure of what their own names are.
Ole Eriksson at your service.
No, he is Ole. You are Sven.
He is Ole. You are Sven.
Oh, boy.
I am Ole, you are Sven. Flintstones, 1963. Hey, you get me? You get me. And I hope it all works out for you. And you know what that means you get? It means you get Mike Gallagher here in just a moment. So stick tight for that. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis on 660 AM, the answer DFW, and Freedom 1160 San Antonio. It's 7:31, and Nikki Whaley's in for Gordon this week. There in your car, you can only receive. I hope Gary Newman invested well. Might have made a couple of bucks off of this. I can't get the video out of my head either. Were you a big MTV guy, Mike Gallagher?
I was. In fact, there was a girl that I had the crush on. Was her dark? She had big brown eyes, dark hair. I forget her name now. But there was that was
what
kind
was,
of
what
a,
was the song?
No, MTV. I just liked MTV.
Oh, Martha Quinn. Martha Quinn.
That's who I liked. Yeah. I love her.
I can't find my car keys, but I remember Martha Quinn.
Because I don't know what I had for breakfast
and
5 minutes
Alan
ago.
Alan Hunter and J.J. Jackson and Mark Goodman and Nina Blackwood. Nina Blackwood.
That was the cool thing. And in the 70s, I mean, in high school, I remember, boy, and you talk about a business model changing. I'm so obsessed today and these days with business models changing, how different our world looks. And that's a great example. I mean, you know, think about Blockbuster Video. Where'd Blockbuster Video go?
There is a Twitter feed for something called The Last Blockbuster. Like, fictitiously, words, right. Mark. Like, there's one outpost left somewhere, and it's like, hey, we got a special on the beta version of Top Gun or something like that.
Yeah, it's like the weird, like, drive-in movies. Do people go to drive-in movies? Is there still a drive-in movie left?
Around here, there are a couple. But that has a kind of an old-school nostalgia retro kind of thing, whereas having to get in your car and drive 4 miles and take a tangible video out, and it seems like stone knives and bearskins, doesn't it?
Mark, I don't mean to brag, but talk about driving 4 miles. We're working on some technological stuff with my studio and my home.
Yeah,
I haven't left the apartment in 6 days. I mean, I have not left the. I'm working in my study.
Oh my gosh!
I order food in. I'm going to be one of those people that they got to take out like in a piano crate. They're going
to the 1,100 pound guy, Walter Hudson.
Yeah, the crane.
Remember,
they're going to get a crane.
I remember Walter Hudson's name, and I can't find my shoes. God, what my bread? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Anyway, go ahead. Good. I'm sorry.
It's the final stages. You remember certain things at the end.
Well, you know, thank you.
You're welcome.
I remembered something. I don't know if you had the chance to hear any of the show, but I was talking. Have you seen, first of all, seen the audio of Trump at that big table with the NATO people?
First of all, how dare you say, have you heard any of the show? You're my show prep.
I hear your show every morning.
No, I got the app going in my apartment that I haven't left in 6 days. My fingernails are getting long.
You got plenty of time. Did it resonate with
you? My hair's getting long.
You're a little younger than me. Did one tiny stupid little thing resonate? Because I don't think you're quite old enough. Flintstones, I am Orly, you are Sven. Remember that?
No, it's a little bit before my...
That is from a 1960, because I'm sitting there doing Jens Stoltenberg, and, you know, I went from Norwegian to Swedish, and I just didn't... Okay, enough about that.
Well, here's the takeaway that I... Big picture takeaway that is it just is riveting. Here's a president. Anywhere he goes in the world, he fights for the United States.
Yep.
Now, the media hates that.
Yes.
They line up, and they hate it, and I just keep thinking... Do Americans hate that? Do Americans hate an American president fighting against unfair trade balances?
You better believe we're going to find out.
Yes, but I really think I wish the media would sort of ask itself. Let me share with you a documentary I'm watching that I think you'll enjoy very much.
Yes.
It's on Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Fourth Estate. Mm-hmm. Now it is a very I'd say sympathetic portrait of the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
But before you shut me down, it's fascinating because it really is a behind the scenes. It's a series and it's been around a couple months. I just started watching it last night and I started binge watching. I watched about 3 episodes because, again, I haven't left the apartment in 6 days.
Exactly. Are you shaving? Are you taking nourishment?
No, no.
You're definitely taking nourishment.
My fingernails are long. My tummy is
placed. Howard Hughes.
Yeah. Because I don't have to leave. I mean, in New York, they deliver everything.
I know.
So when I run out of essentials, like toilet paper, they'll send it up. I mean, I got no reason to leave. Anyway, this is fascinating because, first of all, they're dealing with the New York Times in the Trump era and very mindfully aware that Trump is after them. And so you got all these executives and all these writers who are just a byline to us, right? Or an occasional appearance on CNN or MSNBC.
Right.
Maggie Haberman,
right.
Michael Schmidt. And it humanizes them, which I like. I mean, listen.
That's fine.
I know they have a liberal bias. We get it. We all understand.
I confess to fascination. I'm in. Uh-huh.
You got to see this because it's about making deadlines and it's about them struggling with losing their business model. In one of the episodes, the guy announces for the first time ever their digital subscription revenue overtook their print advertising revenue.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. And you know, let's face it, radio, to a much lesser extent, faces these challenges. Now, for us, thankfully, business is booming. I see your ratings. I've never had higher ratings nationally in 20-plus years.
You are king.
And they talk about it, Mark, at the New York Times. They call it the Trump bump. They acknowledge it. Business is good for them because of Donald Trump. So all of that is in this fascinating documentary called The Fourth Estate at Showtime. But here's what I love. When they get something wrong, how mortified they appear to be. And here we go again. We've seen a narrative with Justice Kavanaugh. Oh, it turns out sources say this was just a favor to Kennedy.
And there were talks for weeks, if not months, that Kennedy and the Trump White House, they comforted him and made sure he knew, and he demanded as a condition of his retirement that you better replace me with Kavanaugh. The story was, Mike, the story was...
That's totally false. And so they're walking it back. I mean, they're having to walk it back and say it was wrong. It was fake news. Now, this is what, those are the dreaded two words to the New York Times reporters, to CNN, but it keeps happening.
Of course it does. And
watching this New York Times perspective, again, I'm just fascinated the way they grapple with it and how they are. I mean, Dean Baquet, the editor of the New York Times, he's a big player in this documentary, obviously, and he just keeps saying, I'm transfixed as an American citizen is the way this is all playing out. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's kind of got the candor to say, we've never seen anything like this before. Well, doggone it, we've never seen a president fight like tooth and nails for the United States like this. You're supposed to have tea. You're supposed to be polite.
And you're supposed to suck up and surrender and sacrifice all clarity on the altar of feel-good diplomacy.
You're supposed to say, thank you, sir. May I have another? Mm-hmm. And he won't do that. And I mean, I'm. Did you see the news about Mike Flynn took a job the other day with some big global consulting firm? That doesn't sound like a guy who's going to go to jail to me.
If you heard the story about Mueller, it kind of like drunks at a bar. Have you heard the story about Mueller and Manafort?
Hold my beer. Two, I got one for you.
Two prosecutors walk into a bar. But anyway, the story on Mueller is that he's got something on Manafort, but it has nothing to do with Trump and nothing to do with the election, and certainly nothing to do with collusion.
That's exactly. I mean, and this documentary, which was from a year ago, because it was the first year of the Trump campaign.
Post-production,
but they're dealing with, Russia could be it. Russia could be it. And there's stories they're referencing that have since, to this day, been discredited. My. It's delicious.
I've just gone to its website, to the Showtime website. It is Showtime, and I'm sure it's available on demand, The Fourth Estate. But there's a little tagline here on the webpage that I have to snicker. You ready? The Fourth Estate. You know, watch parts 1 through 4 now. And the little tagline is, The War for Truth from the Front Lines. Well, front lines, maybe. War for Truth,
And what this does is it kind of makes you check yourself, because listen, we're all leery and cynical of the mainstream media. We get it. Are they the enemy, or are they a bunch of liberal journalists who are just kind of reveling in the moment, who are trying to get it right, but they're trying to take him down.
Depends.
I mean, we get it.
It depends. Some of them are snakes. Jim Acosta at CNN is a snake.
Oh, absolutely.
April Ryan. Absolutely. But the New York Times, while we're dwelling on them for a minute, they are the ones who ran a big op-ed written by a liberal law professor at Yale who says, I love Kavanaugh, and it was titled, A Liberal Case for Kavanaugh.
Listen, that article may have secured his nomination.
Because yes, thanks,
honestly,
New York Times.
When you've got a New York Times op-ed written by a liberal Hillary-supporting Yale professor who says it's a brilliant pick, it was his Trump's finest hour and his classiest move, I want to hear Dick Durbin push back against that.
Kamala Harris. Kamala
Come
Harris.
On, Kamala.
Have you heard about Kamala?
Yep, she wouldn't see him.
I won't even meet. We want nothing to do with you.
But now let's be fair.
Nice.
But let's be fair. All right, it's tacky, but guess what? Mm. That's what they did with Merrick Garland. They wouldn't meet with him either.
Oh, no, but that wasn't out of distaste or venom. They didn't want to toy with his feelings because McConnell had made clear that would have been cruel to meet with Merrick Garland. It gives the illusion that, no, that's totally different. Hey, 60 seconds.
And they sure didn't say, we want nothing to do with
exactly
you, Merrick Garland.
Right. Politics meets pop culture. Are you familiar with the Sarah Palin, Sacha Baron Cohen story?
I sure am. And that first episode, speaking of Showtime,
is
airs
coming
Sunday
up.
Night.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Sacha Baron Cohen, fan, non-fan, or it depends?
No comment. Off the record, he's a very funny guy. Tell anybody.
Borat was hilarious. The Ali G thing is a little weird, but it's funny too. Kind of ambush interviews where the person doesn't quite know.
But Borat's funny.
This is a total different thing. He gets Sarah Palin and they prank her into saying it's an interview with a wounded warrior, and it's Sacha Baron Cohen in heavy makeup, and it just goes very dark and weird, and the cameras are rolling, and she signed the release to be on the show. Yep. And so this is very different than Ali G, very different than the other things, and she is mortified, and she should be. So I have a taste for edgy comedy, but this was despicable what he did.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I like dark, edgy comedy, but this isn't dark, edgy. This is cruelty, and this is exploiting every single man and woman who is in Walter Reed right now, or who is without a leg, fighting for our country. He tricked Dick Cheney into signing a waterboard kit.
That's actually kind of funny. and Cheney seems like first time I've ever signed a waterboard.
I mean, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, I know,
but the Sarah Palin thing, there's no humor in that at all. It's right up there in the category of Michelle Wolf and her recent episode.
Oh my
salute
gosh.
To abortion.
With the fifes and the drums and,
marching
yay,
band.
Abortion.
Have an abortion, ladies. But even if you're not pregnant, get one for the future.
That falls back into my premise of the week, which may be my premise of the month, which may be my premise for the year. And that is the left is doing things that are guaranteeing landslide 2020.
Every time I see your tweets and then you do hashtag landslide 2020, they don't have the self-awareness to know it, Mark. They don't even realize it.
I hope
you never look in a mirror, left, because you're not going to like what you see.
Yeah, and please don't start listening to us. No, so anyway.
But can I tell you how much I love this 5 minutes every day? Oh, you just get me fired up and ready to go.
I love it so much, it feels like 15.
Or 20.
It's so awesome. In our remaining 60 seconds, anything else today that you think
you
want to
offer? Yeah, I want to hit the NFL Players Association filing a grievance against the NFL yesterday over the league's new policy. We'll tackle that.
Because here it comes. I want the Cowboys are in training camp in 2 weeks. I want to be excited, and I am, and I think the Cowboys are going to be pretty well behaved. But the NFL Players Association giving grief to the NFL, saying, they will not be happy unless they could be on the sideline kneeling. The NFL says, listen, if you don't want to come out and do the anthem, fine, stay in the locker room. That's not enough for them. Fighting to get out there, and because that shows how narcissistic this grandstanding and showboating is. It's going to be ugly, Mike. It's going to be terrible.
And it's not going to turn out well for them.
And
that's the part that, again, look at big picture. Americans want people fighting for the country.
Yep. Right,
you know, and stand for the flag. Stand for the anthem.
All righty, man.
Have a great Wednesday,
friend. I can't wait to hear you. It's Mike Gallagher every day after we are done on 6:60 a.m. The Answer, and right around the bend on a.m. 9:30. The Answer, San Antonio, proud sister station to Freedom 1160. I'm Mark Davis. It is 7:50. Little Dave Brubeck Quartet, When You Wish Upon a Star, to take us out of this hour. An hour in which we are joined by our friends in San Antonio on Freedom 1160. Hattie, have a great remainder of your day. 6:60 a.m. The Answer, DFW. Be right back. You know, every time I mention or bring up the anthem protests. Every time I did during the NFL season, I got mocked. People say that that's not important. It's all you people care about, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we obviously care about a lot of things. The reason the NFL anthem protests are huge is they are they're a battleground between people who love this country, respect our patriotic iconography, and those who do not. And so what was it that Mike and I were just talking about that indicate that this might be a terrible, terrible, terrible NFL season in terms of this? I'll tell you all about it when we continue. Follow me on Twitter at Mark Davis, M-A-R-K Davis. And hey, it's Wednesday. We're in Texas. What's not to love?
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.